Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 6th of October 2024. Our opening scripture for this message is found in Ezekiel chapter 47, and we are going to read from verse 1 to 6. That's the old prophet Ezekiel 47, 1 to 6. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The water came up to my knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The water came up to my waist. Again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim. A river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. Heavenly Father, thank you for this precious word. We pray that as we discuss your truth, you'll anoint our lips to speak the oracles of God, anoint our minds to grasp, give us revelation knowledge. And Holy Spirit, may the written word of God come alive in our hearts and produce great fruit in our lives. In the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. The title of this message is God's Agenda. If you and I want to be really happy and fulfilled in life, there are basically three things that we need to do. First of all, we have to understand that God has an agenda. The second thing we need to do is find out what is the part that we have to play in that agenda. And the third thing is to get with the program, as it were. I believe that the happiest people on the earth are those who know exactly what God wants them to do and every day get up and are going about doing it. God wants us to be happy. That's why he sent his son. He wants us to be fulfilled. And very often in life, we find people aren't fulfilled. They're unhappy, frustrated. And it's not merely because of difficult circumstances, although that does play a large role. But generally speaking, the frustration is this separation from the plan of God and our daily lives. The first thing, as I mentioned, is it's so important to grasp that God has an interest in the earth. He has an agenda and he has a program. And that agenda is not difficult to come to know or to understand. Very simply stated, he created the earth in all its beauty, placed mankind, you and I, on the earth with the intent that we would enjoy the earth. But above all, enjoy fellowship with him. God loves fellowship. That's why he created us in his own image. He wanted somebody to share his heart with. Now we all know the story. Sin entered the picture. Man got separated from God. In that separation, we must realize something. The moment man sold out to the person who became known as the God of this world, not only did man lose his salvation, but the world fell with him. We live in a fallen world. It's not hard to believe that if you see the havoc that nature unchecked has and is doing around the earth. But God's plan, very simply stated, was to win the world back. That was his plan from the beginning of time. That's why he wanted his earth and his man to come back to him. That's the heart cry of God, simply stated. And we all know the story, how he sent his son to buy us back, to redeem us, and the process of salvation, which you and I, if we are on this earth, are inextricably linked with. Now, obviously, before you and I are born again, before we are saved, we are part of the lost and dying world that God wants to bring back. The moment, however, we get saved, God's plan continues in our lives. His plan was for his man to be part of the process of winning his fellow man back. Very simply stated, that is God's agenda, to win the world back to himself using humans, using people, using you and I. But his agenda goes beyond that. It's not just a case of you and I as individuals trying to get our neighbors saved and our family saved, and that's the end of it. The agenda is much greater than that. What we need to realize is that God has not only an agenda, but a plan for achieving that agenda. And his plan, very simply stated, is not only his son, but also his church. In the word, it speaks about Christ being the head and his church being his body. The church loosely spoken of being the called out ones. Every single person who gets saved becomes part of this organization, if you want to call it that, on the earth, which God calls the ecclesia, the called out ones. Now, God's plan was for that body of his to function in the earth with this process of reclaiming in mind. Here in South Africa, in the 1600s, people in Holland sent a shipload of colonists led by a certain individual known as Jan van Riebeck to set up a refueling station for the ships that passed by the Cape of Good Hope, as it became known. Those people from Europe were colonists. They set foot in a strange land, and although at first the objective wasn't to take over the land, eventually that's how it transpired. Without delving too deeply into history, in a very similar fashion, God's children on this earth are like a colony here on the earth with the function of reclaiming the earth for the person who originally made it. We are colonists, so to speak. That is the broad sweep of God's plan. When we think of the church and God's plan, we have to realize that that is God's plan. In the old days, in America's history, the late 1800s, when there was revival sweeping through that land, the church of the day used to hold what they called rush meetings. A rush meeting was very simply where the people would go out into the countryside and they'd build little camps, places like tents with rushes, as it were. And they'd live out in the wild and have these camp meetings where they would worship and praise and pray to God for extended periods of time. And that was the cause of great revival sweeping through America of those days. In one of these camp meetings, the leader of the organization went for rest. And while he was resting, he had a dream or a vision in which he found himself before the throne of God. And God told him that his plan was to save the world through his church. In this vision, this camp meeting leader asked God this question: what if we fail? Referring to the church, of course. This is your plan, but what happens if we fail? And what God Almighty said to him were these words: if you fail, there is no other plan. There is no other plan. Very sobering thoughts. Now, we need to understand that the church, as God planned it, not as man has tried to make it, please, we must get this distinction right. The church, as God planned it, the body of Christ, in all its beauty, functioning the way it was designed, with Christ as the active head through the Holy Spirit, that was his plan for reaching the world. There is no other plan. You and I, as children of the living God, if we want to be fulfilled, we need to understand that is the plan, but more than that, we have to find out what our part is in this great plan. And then, as I said earlier, get to the program. Now, I need to say this, and please, this getting involved with God's agenda, as it were, is a process. It's something that you and I, as children of God, have got to gradually grow into. Very much like a young person goes to a school, a new school, and at first we just have joined up, as it were. We don't know the ropes, as they say. We have to learn those. We have to find out how the organization works. And you see, if we learn how the organization works and we adapt to the organization, then we'll have a good time. We'll be a blessing to the organization and, of course, to ourselves. It works the same with the kingdom of heaven. If I think of the days when I was first saved, I bumbled around on the outskirts of the church. I strolled, as it were, from one church to the other. I didn't have a clue what was going on. I didn't know the importance. I just knew if you're a Christian, you go to church. My school had taught me that. But I didn't have any clue what church was supposed to be, and moreover, what my function in church actually was. And my whole life has been a process of learning more and more about church. Not just church as she has been presented, generally speaking, but finding out from the Word of God and in instances where I've seen the church working properly. Gradually a picture evolved for me what church really is, A. And B, in that process, I began to discover what my function was in the body of Christ. There is no other plan. But to be part of this plan, it's a process. Now, early on in my Christian walk, the Lord gave me a vision, or a mind picture, I suppose you could call it, which explained this whole process to me in a way that I could understand it. I'm just going to share that picture, hoping that it will help others understand the process, perhaps. The vision was of a rural village with people living there, obviously going about their daily chores. And next to this village was a river. A mighty river flowed by on the outskirts of the village. The implication was that people could go down to the river, draw water they needed from the river. You could put your feet in it. You could paddle around in it, wade around in it, and if you were brave, probably even swim in it. But you see, what was available was a process. Ezekiel spoke about this river. He goes in ankle deep. Then he goes in knee deep. Then he goes in up to the waist. And then he goes in totally. Now, what I need to try and communicate here is that God has his great agenda. You and I, as children of God, are invited to be part of it. We must understand that God, through the Holy Spirit, is a perfect gentleman. He never forces us to do anything. But what he does do is show us the options and encourage us. As I said, there is God's agenda in the earth. You and I, as his children, have an option. Now, many people might bump into God, get saved, but they're quite happy to stay in the village, as it were. Life as usual. Day-to-day activity. Nothing wrong with that. It's the way we were made. We need to be involved with day-to-day activity. But you see, what's on offer here is with the kingdom of heaven is this process of gradually moving more and more into not our agenda for our lives, but God's agenda. And yes, it means stepping out. Yes, there's unknowns involved. But you see, the point is this, that if we are prepared to go with God and launch, that river, once we're in the middle of it, can take us to places that we would never have otherwise known, in a way beyond our wildest dreams and imaginations. With God, there is no limit. But please, I don't want to run ahead of myself. What I'm trying to express here is that there is a process to this whole thing. We look at the Lord when he was on this earth, coming up to the disciples while they were busy fishing, the tax collector as well, Matthew, and commanding them, "Follow me." They dropped everything and followed him. And yes, there are some people that have an experience like that. On the one hand, living in the village and then plunging into the river immediately the next day. Dramatic. But that's not the normal process. God on the earth then had a job to do and he didn't have much time to do it. Not that there isn't urgency in this day and age either. But understand something. God is for us. And what he wants for us will be a great blessing for us, because he loves us. And what I'd like to just describe is a process where you and I can gradually, as it were, move out into the river. God doesn't expect us just to get in a boat and jump out in the middle immediately. Many people have actually tried that. Some Bible schools have trained people for maybe a year or two and then sent them right into the middle of the river and watched them drown. But what I need to say is that, you see, God is for us, and the starting place is where we are at. We might be in a position where we're facing difficulties. We might be struggling with one issue or the other. Maybe sin, health, finances, purposelessness, drugs, wasted life. So many things. Now, step number one, obviously, is for us to get ourselves together. The Holy Spirit wants to do that for you and I. He wants us to be whole. That is the beginning of the process. And yes, God wants us to be able to survive, to be blessed, and to be able to be a blessing to our families and have purpose in our lives. But we have to grasp, children of God, that for you and I, it doesn't stop there. So many people bump into God, as it were, get what they can out of him, and then carry on with life as if life goes on as normal. That was never God's plan. His plan was for you and I to connect. Connect with what he is trying to do. If you think of an army, that army needs soldiers. The starting place with those soldiers is they have to be conscripted, enlisted, whether they are forced to or by choice, whatever. But they don't come into the army and get sent to the front line the next day. What's got to happen? In a sense, they have to be sorted out. They have to be trained. They have to be equipped. They have to know how to use their equipment, as it were. They do basic training. But the army never takes on people, conscripts, and gives them basic training and then lets them sit around in the barracks or even just go home. The training is for a purpose. There's a war that has to be fought. And you see, an effective army will effectively train individual soldiers, and this is really important. They will train each soldier to perform a specific function. It would be no good taking on a whole lot of recruits, teaching them how to be infantry, and that's it. They need people behind the scenes, running the radios, running the communication, servicing the equipment, procuring the weapons, servicing the weapons, providing the food. An army runs on its stomach, apparently. So many things. The statistic is, generally speaking, for any army, that for one person on the front line, there's 9 or 10 behind, keeping the system going. Let's look at the church. We've got to understand something. God has got an agenda. His agenda is the body of Christ. You and I, as individual Christians, if we want to be part of this program that God has, and in so doing, be blessed, we have to find out what part of this great army we have to be connected with and what exactly our function is. Once again, I need to say that this is a process. There's a lot of things we have to understand. Many children of God have no understanding of how the body of Christ is supposed to function. And because of that, they are attached. And many people I've spoken to say, I want to help. They've gone to their pastor and say, if there's anything I can do, let me know. But very often, sad to say, it stops there. Why? Possibly because some of us pastors don't have a clue what's supposed to be happening. And the whole organization just forms along the lines of some idea that man has for church, you see, with the clergy on one side and the rest tagging along. The great evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, the last time I saw him holding a crusade, made a very powerful statement, I thought, amongst many others, of course. And he was talking about the body of Christ, and on this occasion he was speaking to the saved. And he said, the body of Christ, the church of God, is not a passenger liner. It's not a passenger liner. All hands are needed on deck. All hands are needed on deck. And so you see, you and I, as individual Christians, we understand this. The next question is, well, how do I fit in? And as we go through this teaching, for as many sessions once again as it will take, I'm trusting God to break it down for us in very simple terms. We need to know, you see, what's out there that needs to be done. We can't have a naive opinion that, well, the Church of God needs preachers and pastors. And yes, she does. But once again, when we look at the priests and the pastors and the ministers and the great purpose of God on the earth, his agenda, they're merely the tip of the iceberg, maybe the arrowhead. But what use is an arrowhead without everything else, without the shaft, without the feathers, without the bow? Can you see? It's quite involved. It's not difficult to understand because it's been written out for us, explained in detail in the Word. And what I'm going to be doing in the next few lessons, trusting the Holy Spirit once again, try and bring to our attention, our minds, an understanding of what exactly the church has need of to function properly, to be effective, and to fulfill the great call that is placed upon us on the earth. And I'm trusting that each one of us as individuals, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, will start to understand how we as individuals fit in and what the process is to become effective. I trust that you'll stay with us as we go through this process. We've just touched the edge of the river, as it were, with our feet. Then as we go along, I pray that we'll go ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and eventually take the plunge and swim to far and distant shores in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Be blessed. Amen.